Otto, however, built his state by turning to the episcopacy and to the great abbots of Germany and Italy as a way of supporting his position, of administering this very diverse realm. Parts of his realm were administered under feudal arrangements, but other parts followed earlier tribal arrangements. In order to assert royal authority, Otto, in effect, gave to the bishops, the abbots, the archbishops of Germany and Italy, secular powers. They were given huge estates to administer. There were numerous imperial monasteries founded. In many ways, over the course of the 10th and 11th century, the so-called Ottonian and then their successors, Salian kings of Germany, turned the episcopacy of Germany into their top administrative class. This can be seen in a variety of ways. The three leading archbishoprics in Germany, Trier, Mainz, and Cologne, who eventually would come to have a role in electing the Holy Roman Emperor, were all positions entrusted to close friends or members of the imperial family. The Archbishop of Mainz was usually the brother of the Holy Roman Emperor. All of them owed 100 knights in knight service. The great prelates were also expected to go on campaign with the emperor. So that by the opening of the 11th century, German armies included many episcopal figures who were leading their contingents as part of their condition for administering all these properties, rights, and other concerns granted to him by the emperor. These were often known as the temporalities, that is, the temporal aspect of their office as opposed to their spiritual office. In a way, Otto and his successors could reconcile this very easily with their notions of the Imperium Christianum, this notion that they were the Holy Roman Emperors, that they were the heirs of Charlemagne. Of course, they were, in effect, like the kings of Israel. They would minister to the faithful Christians. The Emperor Otto III, for instance, his mother was a Byzantine princess, so one wonders how much these notions were influenced by mom telling him that you really are a Christian emperor. Furthermore, the kings of Germany always had to go to Italy to get the imperial crown, the coronation that made him Holy Roman Emperor, and the German kings could legitimately claim, starting with Otto I on, that they rescued the papacy from declining to a position of essentially nothing more than a plaything of the Roman nobility. In 843, when the Carolingian Empire was divided, and you go into this period of civil wars and the breakdown of the three successor kingdoms, Rome suffered considerably from this. By the late 9th century, Rome was essentially dominated by leading Italian families. The papacy was often the plaything of these toughs. And some have gone so far as to dub the 10th century the so-called papal pornocracy, where the papacy was in the hands of women of high rank and low repute. And there were a series of scandals, the most notorious, Sergius III, who reputedly had orgies repeatedly in the mausoleum of Hadrian, that's today Castel San Angelo. It had fallen into the hands of a rather disreputable lot of strongmen, and that the German kings had come in and rescued that they had restored the integrity of the throne of St. Peter, had ensured that proper men were elected to that office and bolstered its position in Western Europe. And they did have some right to that claim. On the other hand, there were dangers inherent in this system that the German kings could turn their episcopacy essentially into their own officials. And there is always the danger down the road that perhaps the Pope would become nothing more than the chaplain of the emperor. And that would depend on where the emperor resided. Fortunately for the Pope, the emperor was conveniently north of the Alps most of the time. There was also another set of precedents that occurred from this arrangement that reinforced these notions that the German kings, the Holy Roman Emperors, had this special position in Western Christendom, that they really were the Christian emperors. In several disputed elections in the 11th century, the German Holy Roman Emperor had to intervene and settle the issue. And the most famous of these was the Council of Sutri in 1046, where the then reigning Holy Roman Emperor, Henry III, had to adjudicate the claims of three different contenders for the papacy. He had them all deposed and had his own candidate, a German cleric, elected as Pope Clement II. To the kings in Germany, this was simply the logical reverse to the coronation of Charlemagne. If the pope could create an emperor, in certain circumstances, the emperor could create a pope, and that this was approaching something of the ideal that you saw in Constantinople at the time.